Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at our Harrisonburg and Elkton campus at 9 and 10:30. Or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
It would be really, really poor, I think, as a shepherd of this local flock, to not ask you, before I get into Psalm 23, to pray. This was related to a plane accident. We've had a plane crash in our world this week. We have such civil unrest going on in our world this week, in our own country, all over. Unless you just have your head totally buried in the sand, you have seen what is playing out in our own country. And then we have what's going on across the pond. And we have those of us, there's a lot in our congregation that are supposed to take a trip this fall to Israel. So our world is broken. We know that, right? And we're not going to fix that in one sermon. We're not going to fix that in one prayer. But I do have this image, and I've thought about God as he looks across the balcony of heaven onto his world. And what must he think? I wonder, as he stands there and he's peering into his world, into the U.S. and into Israel, into all these places, and looking at his humanity, and I wonder how his heart must not just be broken. At the end of the service last week, Pastor Kerry invited people to come, and I had somebody tell me that I didn't want to go to the altar because I felt like it was a walk of shame. And in our church tradition, sometimes we only do it once. I want to invite you today, if you want to do it, you can do it now, and it won't be a walk of shame. It's because you want to come and you want to change your posture, and you just want to pray because your heart is broken over the things that are breaking the heart of God. So if you want to come, just stand up right now and you can come. You don't have to. You can turn your chair into an altar of prayer. You can just posture your heart in a different place. But I just want to invite you, if you want to, today, in this moment, and you want to pray for our country, and you want to pray for people everywhere who are impacted by what is happening in our world, I'm going to pause for about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to pray. But you're free to come. Heavenly Father, we know you're a good Father. But on this side of heaven, Lord, we get confused. And we look around at the pain and the suffering, and we don't understand. And I don't pretend I want your heart. I want to know your mind, but I don't pretend to have my heart broken like yours must be. So, Lord, today we come in confusion, in desperation, in pain. Some of us come in fear. Some of us come in anger. And we just lay all of this at your feet. I've no idea what the answer is. I know who the answer is. So, Lord, would you be high and lifted up? Would you put the people in places to lead us that would seek you first above all else? We need your peace. You are peace. And not just for peace sake, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace. We need you to invade our world, in our own homes, in our own communities, and beyond. Sometimes, Lord, I don't even know what to pray, but I'm glad that it says that you intercede on our behalf. When we end with groanings and we can't figure out the words to say, I'm glad that you are interceding on our behalf. So, Lord, today, would you hit the mark? Would you intercede on our behalf? And would you protect and guide and shepherd and lead? We trust in God, our Savior, the one. We just sang it. We just testified to it. I pray that would happen in our lives. And Lord, when we've run out of options, I pray that we would fall on our faces before you and ask you to once again intercede. You are merciful and you are gracious, and we are grateful. Have your way in the rest of this service today, Lord. It's in your matchless, powerful name that I pray. Amen. Thanks for praying. Today we begin a new series on the book of Psalms, and I want to just give you a couple pieces to highlight the book of Psalms. The subtitle of this is, I Didn't Know That. Now, many of you have read the Psalms, you've heard the Psalms. The one we're going to do today, the one we're going to discuss and talk about, is the most popular of all Psalms. Probably outside of John 3:16, it is the most popular, most well-known, whether you're in church or not, quoted verses of Scripture. For God so loved the world, we're going to get into a psalm that if you don't know anything about the Bible, you probably know these words. And you've seen them or you've heard them in lots of places. The Psalms are the largest book in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament. It's got the shortest chapter and the longest chapter. It was written over about 1,000 years by a lot of different authors. David, King David, writes about half of this book. The one that we're going to look at this morning in just a couple minutes is from the pen of King David. And we know that because he tells us. And there are several times in Scripture where the writer tells us who it is. The book of John does that a lot. So what's interesting about this book is it's different than all the other books in the Bible. Are you listening? All the other books are essentially stories about the prophets, or this look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, this look at Jesus from different writers, and they are instruction to us. This book is different. Most of them are in the position of us receiving instruction and us receiving stories. This is the one book where it is someone speaking to God. In fact, 70% of this book, even though it is psalms, songs of praise, 70% of the book is lament. And what typically happens in this book is there is lament, 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 crying out to God, crying out to God. It almost at times sounds like a pity party. It's not. But it is just this heartfelt cry, and then it's followed by a praise. I want to give you an example of that before we get into the Scripture this morning. Psalms chapter 22. Jesus himself quotes the Psalms. It's the most quoted of any of the Old Testament in the New Testament. Jesus quotes it twice on the cross. See if this sounds familiar. This is Psalm 22. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why are you so far from helping me, so far from the words of my groaning? Do those words sound familiar? So that's Psalm 22, right before Psalm 23. And that's a pattern that is all throughout the book of Psalms. Now, before we get into today's scripture, I want to just set this up so that you would understand this idea of a sheep and a shepherd, 500 times referenced in Scripture. Now, I'm not that smart, and some of y'all know that. But when it's in Scripture 500 times, that's a notice for me to go, probably should pay attention to that. These are Jesus' words, Jesus speaking. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. So I give my life for my sheep. John 10:27, it says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Old Testament, God is the shepherd. New Testament, Jesus comes along, who is God, and says, I am the good shepherd. And my sheep, they know my voice. Now, that didn't make a whole lot of sense to me when I was reading this early on as a kid, even as an adult, and then I saw this video, and it helped me. Before I came as your pastor, Pastor Billy showed a video that was similar to this. This may be new for some of you, but check this out. This explains what we just read.
One more time.
Stand with me one more time. We're going to read this together. We are considered the sheep of his pasture. We are compared to sheep for a number of reasons. And many of you would stand here today and say, Kevin, I'm not a shepherd. I don't own any sheep. I don't even have a sheep tattoo. Have you ever, by the way, seen someone who has a sheep tattoo? I'm not either. Psalm 23, 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his namesake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, or as one version would say, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You may be seated. King David writes those way familiar words, which you've probably heard at a funeral. You've seen them on some cross stitch. You've seen them on a poster. You might have heard them weaved into a song. He writes those words as a king, but he's looking back to his life as a shepherd. And we are compared to sheep because sheep are essentially, are you listening? Defenseless. What is a sheep's defense? They're not great at biting. They're not great at running. They're not great at what? Kicking. So what's their defense? When their wool gets heavy because it gets wet, they're not great swimmers. They're not. So what do they got? They don't have much. In fact, if they fall over, whether it's during pregnancy or because they're injured, they essentially will just lay on the ground on their back, and depending on the conditions of the outside world, they will last either a very short time or a shepherd shows up to lift them back up on their feet. They can't even do that. And so there's the picture for us. This defenseless group of people, essentially, that we're compared to. Now, I want to go through this just a few verses at a time, and hopefully by the end of this, this will make sense to all of us that are in this room. It starts in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I don't want to go any further than those four words. David's making it clear. The Lord is a shepherd, but David makes it personal. The Lord is my shepherd. We know he's a shepherd of other people, but essentially in verse 1, he's identifying he's mine. I know he can shepherd other people. I've seen him work in other people's lives, but I wanted to verify in Psalm 23 in verse 1 in the first four words, the Lord is my shepherd. And then he finishes the verse. I lack nothing. This is written in first person for you English folks. This whole thing has several different first, second, and third persons in the six short verses. It's personal. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. Third person now. And I'm going to show you a couple pictures here. This is a picture of sheep that are grazing in the Middle East. In our minds, when we read that, when we think about that, maybe you've even seen pictures of sheep that are grazing, and we think, oh, it's almost like the Spotswood Country Club golf course. Just these lush, rolling hills of green, and they just roll out there, and there's a good shepherd, and he's got his little staff, and they just go out, and they just feed, and they just roam around, and they... That's not the picture. This is the actual picture of what it would look like for a sheep and a shepherd in the desert. And David knew this, so he doesn't just write this for just, well, that sounds like poetic words. This is what he was used to. This was his experience. What would happen is this shepherd would not drive sheep. The shepherd would lead sheep. It's not cattle. The verse video that you just watched, I saw another video where there was three or four shepherds and they were standing in a group of 1,000 or more sheep. Listen to this now. And each shepherd would make their sound and their sheep would know to come in their direction, even though there was all these other sheep out in the field. And that shepherd would then lead and they would go ahead of this group and they would figure out, where can I find sustenance for the sheep? It wasn't just, well, let me follow behind them. Let me just push them to a new pasture. Let me just send them on some nice flat golf green area. That's not what the shepherd does. And that's not what David is suggesting. David is suggesting, I'm not going to make it. I didn't make it. Unless I had a shepherd who went out before me and spotted out the places for me to get some food. This is a piece of what the food might look like. It's called a tuft of grass. So in most cases, there would be some kind of mist that would come off of the Mediterranean Sea, and it would attach itself to a rock or some piece of dirt in that area, and it would just grow like this. And the shepherd would have to be smart enough to go out, and they would have to find areas that even had this. I mean, it doesn't rain very much in the territory that David grew up in, and what he would have said, it would have been a very short amount of time. So the shepherd has to go out, are you listening? And find this. And we have a shepherd who goes out in front of us and finds out what we need so that we can feed. And not just survive, but that is a part of it. A tuft of grass. The shepherd is, I'm going to give you 3 points, which I don't hardly ever do. The shepherd is provider. The shepherd is provider. And it won't happen without searching. Do you know that there are floods in the Middle East? There are floods in the desert. And because the rain doesn't come very often, when it does happen, it's not like what's happened to us in the past however many weeks. Have y'all had enough rain? Some of you are upset it's messing up your golf game. You can't get out as much. I mean, it's beautiful, right? It's awesome. But I mean, yesterday, I live in Broadway. I mean, about every 15 minutes, I was getting these updates. Broadway, flood watch. Broadway, flood watch. Broadway, flood watch. I mean, it just rained and rained and rained. Laid my head down last night, more rain. The ground that we're looking at here is not able to absorb. Even our ground at times is not able to absorb this. It would come so hard and so fast that it just couldn't absorb it. And the soil was different. It became a miry clay. David penned these words. Look at this picture. He lifted me out of the despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. David knew what it meant to be a shepherd. David knew what happened when it flooded. David was referencing this, and he was saying, when this flood took place, this is what it looked like, and God lifts me up out of there, and he sets my feet on solid ground. He's looking back at his life as a shepherd. I was thinking this week, in my former life, I was a coach. I didn't say I was a very good one, I just was a coach. And I'm wondering if I wrote my own psalm, what would be the language I would use to describe God's faithfulness? I would probably talk about some of the environments that I was in, some of the places that I went, some of the people that I came in contact with. I don't know if I would talk about winning and losses. I don't know. But David's writing this as a shepherd, and this relationship of a shepherd and a sheep. I wonder if you wrote a psalm this week. In fact, maybe you should do that. Maybe you should take 5-10 minutes and sit down with a blank piece of paper, and you should try and write your own psalm. Just pour your heart out to God. Last week, Pastor Kerry was here, and most of what he did was he gave a testimony to what the Holy Spirit had done in his life. This, what we're reading this morning, is a testimony. It's a testimony of a king who's looking back as a shepherd, and he's testifying about, this is who God has been in my life. When's the last time you did that? When is the last time you put pen to paper and you actually testified to, as I look back over the course of my life, this is who God has been in my life? Try it. See what happens. You don't have to write in the same way in the same 6 verses, but maybe you ought to do it. Verse 3, he refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. You all have seen images of a sheepdog, right? What does a sheepdog do? A sheepdog is behind, the shepherd is leading, the sheepdog's at the back of the flock, and they run over here and they go get that sheep and get him back in line. And then they run over here and they go get that sheep and they... And David's writing about this idea of we have to constantly be gathered to get to the right place. A sheep and a shepherd. Sheep wander. I know none of this is you because it's Sunday morning and you're in church, but none of you have ever wandered, right? None of you have ever just decided, I know that's the right path, but I'm going to just... I mean, I was raised in a great Christian home. I never wandered. Have you ever wandered? Have you ever just lost your way? Have you ever just intentionally said, I'm going that direction, even though I know that's the right path? Actually, what David was referencing too was that there were so many hills and valleys where he was at that he would have to take the sheep down in almost like a circular motion, and they would just wear paths into the side of the mountains so that he could bring them home to safety. Sheep, by the way, aren't going to lay down unless they're well-fed and they are well-hydrated. And they don't like moving or rushing water. So David is reminding us again, I need this to happen. This has happened for me in my life. Even though I walk through the valley, the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you notice what has happened here? I started in the first verse, and I was talking about, you know, first person, second person. This is the first time, right in the center of this beautiful 6 verses, that the language has changed. It's all of a sudden David having a conversation directly with God. It's as if God himself walks onto the scene in the middle of this psalm. The language changes. He's talking about him. He's talking about things that he did. And then he says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. In every case in Scripture, there are 365 of them, fear not. They are always followed by, why? For I am with you. Fear not. Why would we not fear? For I am with you. In every case in Scripture. It's a beautiful picture. David has this direct conversation with God. Did you know that there is an actual place in the Middle East called the Valley of Death? I read a wonderful book. The author was Kenneth Bailey. And Kenneth Bailey said that there is an actual place where shepherds would have to take sheep through, as we sit in the Shenandoah Valley. Probably much smaller. And there were enemies and there were other animals that the shepherd had to lead sheep through. And the shepherd had to guide them through these places and protect them and guide them. Just a few thoughts about this idea. It doesn't say that you stay in the valley. It doesn't say that it is a valley of death. It says the shadow of death. I listened to a black preacher this week and he said this. He said, when you hear the word shadow, you should know that there's good news behind that. Why? Because there must be light. There has to be light there in order to cast a shadow. There are two instruments that the shepherd had. One would be what you have seen in all the pictures around churches or wherever, this staff with sort of a crook, which would be able to lift sheep out. But then there was an actual club. And that club would have been about 3 to 4 feet long. And at the end of that club, it would have been metal spikes. And those metal spikes would have been used for a shepherd to fend off animals. Listen to what David said when they were wondering, can you go fight Goliath as a little boy? David said, I've been taking care of my father's sheep and goats. He said, when a lion or bear comes to steal a lamb from the flock, I go after it with a club and I rescue the lamb from its mouth. If the animal turns on me, I catch it by the jaw and I club it to death. I had a snake on my back deck yesterday. I was scared to death. I texted a friend of mine. He's actually in this room. I said, what is this? And I told my son, I said, go get the shovel. David's over here not talking about a 3-foot snake in Broadway on the back of Kevin's deck. He's talking about bears and lions and saying, look, I'm the guy who fought these off. That's who I was. So don't worry about me going and fighting this human. Because I got a staff and I got a club. And I am a protector and a provider. And those two instruments, when the sheep would be around them, would give them a great sense of protection for them. Man, what a thought. The shepherd is provider. The shepherd is protector. I'll show you a picture of a guy that I met when I was in the 5th grade. I grew up in Westchester, Pennsylvania. We lived a block from Westchester University. And on a Sunday night when I was in the 5th grade, this is really radical, but they used to go to church on Sunday nights. Y'all remember those days, some of you? So we went to church on a Sunday night. It was right at the beginning of the service. And all of a sudden, I happened to look back. I always sat up front because I couldn't behave. So I was sitting up front. And I happened to look back. And in between the two doors of our church, suddenly the doorway was eclipsed by a 6'8", 315-pound man. Now, I don't know how many of you have been around a 6'8", 315-pound man recently, but it's not normal. I mean, and the NFL players keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger, but this guy walked in the back of our church. He was there because a block from our church, the Philadelphia Eagles were having training camp. They won the Super Bowl, by the way. Have I mentioned that? Okay, just checking. So they're having training camp, and he shows up because his dad was a pastor. He's there for training camp. We have no idea this guy's going to show up. And I turn around, and I'm like, I can't even see out the door. He's so big. I develop a relationship with this guy, Rob Taylor, 6'8", 315 pounds, because he develops a relationship with a girl from our church. He falls in love with her, and he meets her, and he marries her. And while he doesn't stay playing with the Eagles, he spent 12 years playing for the Tampa Bay Bucks. That's him in his uniform. He was this imposing presence that I actually got to spend time with. I don't know how big David was. I know God's a lot bigger, but I just want to tell you, when I went places with this guy, I had no fear. None. I mean, we would just walk in a room, and he's 6'8", 315 pounds. Now, he's a Christian, so he's allowed to hit people in a uniform. But wherever we went, you walked in a room, and when you saw a man that size, of that stature, everyone in the room turned their attention to that man. And while every illustration fades, I think, honestly, it was like I just had this great sense of security that when I was around that guy, nothing bad was going to happen. We went to Burger King one time, and he looks at the little girl who was standing there, and he said, "I'd like a chocolate milkshake." And I don't know whether she was already nervous or what, but she brought out a vanilla milkshake, and he slammed his fist on that counter, and he said, "I said I wanted chocolate." And I mean, the whole counter jumped, and she jumped. He said, "I'm just kidding, I'm just kidding. I swear, I'm just kidding." Like, I mean, the whole restaurant just shook. He had a great sense of humor. A shepherd has two instruments, and it puts the sheep at ease because they have a resting faith to know that there is a protector. And I don't know what kind of shepherd Rob was. Actually, he's a pretty good dad. But when I was around that big guy, I thought, man, bring it on. Whose dad wants to fight us, even though he wasn't my dad? The shepherd is protector. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." Oil is used for many things related to sheep. It keeps insects out of their nose. It keeps snakes away as a repellent. I probably should get some. It keeps all kinds of things on their body if they're cut, that they can be healed. It allows the sheep to know that when the shepherd pours this oil over their head, that they are calmed and they have a relationship with the shepherd. I love how it says, "He prepares a table before my enemies." It doesn't say he prepares a table before acquaintances or before friends. He prepares a table before my enemies. And the verse, it starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd," and it ends with "the Lord." And in verse 2 and verse 5, he's telling us, "The Lord is my protector and my provider and my sustainer." He talks about food in two different places here. It's a reminder. Trust in God. He's the ultimate good shepherd. The shepherd is also pursuer. "Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want to close today with a picture of what I think a good shepherd, a good father, looks like. This is from a movie. This is an older movie, but there was a young girl, and she was riding a horse, and she and the horse got in an accident. And she was so, at an early age of 11 or 12, messed up because of this accident that she quit going to school, and she was really struggling. And everybody was telling her mom, "You need to put this horse down. This horse is not going to make it." The mom quickly realized, in order to save my daughter, I'm going to need to save this horse. And so I'm going to need to get this horse rehabilitated. Well, nobody would do it. The mom finds a guy way out in the West, a horse whisperer. And she decides, "I'm going to take this horse out west, and I'm going to take my daughter out west, because it's the only chance I got to get to my daughter and save her, is I got to get this horse saved." The horse is going through some training, and about midway through, with this horse whisperer played by Robert Redford, the horse just takes off and runs. And Robert Redford yells, "Just let him go, let him go." I believe today, what you're about to watch, it's not the only example. It is a beautiful example of what God the Father does with us, as he lets us run, and then he walks out and he waits. Watch this.
Hey, hey! Don't
run! Let him go! Let him go!
On Father's Day, I want to remind you that we have a good father, a good shepherd. Stand with me. And sometimes he comes after us, sometimes he protects us, sometimes he provides for us. He always does, actually. Sometimes he pursues us in different directions. But as we close today, I guess I would want to ask you this question. If you were to write a psalm today, and you would just start it with these words, "The Lord is." What is he to you? The Lord is. I think if you know the Lord, you would say, "The Lord is healer. The Lord is my rock. The Lord is my king. The Lord is my savior. The Lord is my friend. The Lord is." But I've wondered, for those who may not know him, what would you say? The Lord is distant. The Lord is quiet. The Lord is not in control. Look around, Kevin. The Lord is restrictive. The Lord is demanding. The Lord is. We have a loving father. Sheep are not wild animals. Sheep are animals that are bought with a price. They're bought with a price. You have been bought with a price. So this morning, as we close, how do you answer the question, "The Lord is"? What is he to you? I don't know what you need. I don't know how you walked in here today. I don't know if you need to come and bow again and pray. We're going to just offer you a chance as we close in worship to do that. But if you feel like, "Man, I need to pray again. I need to solidify in my own heart, the Lord is." He is Savior, healer, friend, all of those things. Let me pray before we start. Lord Jesus, your dad was the picture of Good Shepherd. And then you came along and said, "I'm the Good Shepherd." I pray that there would be those who are standing here today that would pursue you, that would hear from you. The sheep know your voice. I pray that you would speak and draw and remind us that you are protector, provider, pursuer. And just like that picture we watched, you want to guide us safely back home. And all we have to do is turn in your direction. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.